Have you been told you don't fit in? The way you live isn't right? You don't look the right way? You don't act the right way? You don't love the right people? You don't believe the right thing? Do you feel the pull of spirituality deep within you and long for a place where you can express it, but keep running into places that want to put you into a box, turn you into another member of their cookie-cutter community where everybody looks the same, everybody lives the same, everybody talks the same, everybody sits in neat little rows, and nobody asks any questions? Welcome. You found a home, because this is the Christ and Light Podcast. And at Christ and Light, we celebrate your diversity. We understand the truth that everybody and everything was created wholly good, absolutely complete and loved, and that each one of us is a bearer of God. Join us now as we discuss the implications of that in our lives, as we explore ways to live out the truth that all of us are Christ events, called to shine forth in the world. Hello, how are you? This is the Scripture Commentary on the Christ and Light Podcast. And it's on the podcast today because of ongoing technical difficulties from the idiots at Blog Talk Radio. I am not fond of those people. But it is free, so you get what you pay for, I suppose. And if you decide to pay for it to make it better, well then, you know, you pay for a lot more than you get when you're running something at the level that I do. If I was doing a daily show, it would be different. Excuse me. Nevertheless, here we are. I didn't want to miss today's commentary, but the way the system works at Blog Talk Radio, you can only do one show a day, and it decided that I should have done that show an hour before I had scheduled it. Which is frustrating, to say the least. I have other words for it that just aren't appropriate when we're going to talk about the word of the Lord. And when I came down to the subterranean Christ and High Technology, the subterranean High Technology Christ and Light Studios, I discovered that I had left my word of the Lord upstairs. Which is sort of a prerequisite for, talking about the word da of the Lord. Da. Ma. How are you? I hope you're all right. We had a strange thing happen here, not last night, but I believe the night before. And I'm not quite sure what it was. I don't recall really seeing it before. Water fell from the sky. And they tell me it's called rain. But it has had something of a positive effect on our lawns and whatnot, although I had broken down and watered our lawn a little bit for fear it would go into go beyond dormant into death. And so I had a little bit of green before the rain, and now I've got a little bit more green. But to call it green, well, that would be a stretch. So, this morning we're using the Common English Bible, my favorite really translation that's been done in the last, say, 40 years. And I just got yesterday from Amazon. I had a Common English Bible that didn't have the Apocrypha in it. But I'm a person that enjoys the Apocrypha, and the Common English Bible had been available with the Apocrypha on Kindle for some time, and I had it on Kindle. And while I love my Kindle, the truth is, there's something about a Bible, for me, that really needs to be held in your hand. Because if you become familiar enough with the Scriptures, you can just open it to what you're looking for a lot faster than you can get the Kindle to get to the page you're looking for. And especially if you only land within, you know, you're only within a couple chapters, you're not quite sure where something is, you can easily flip through the pages and look faster than even an e-reader can do for you. So it's here, and it's lovely. And so in commemoration of that, or in honor of that, we will use that translation of Scripture today as the bell rings in the background. It's not the bell I'm ringing, it's the other bell to tell me that as I record this, it's 10 a.m. when the Blog Talk Radio show should have been started. But I'm over that now. Really, I am. So why don't we ring the bell and begin, and then we'll have a little music from someone that we don't often have music from today, and you can figure out who it is in the background so that I'm not violating copyrights. Here we go. Let us pray. God of justice, God of salvation, from every land you call a people to yourself. Yours is the work we do. Yours the message we carry. Keep your church single-minded and faithful to you. Let failure not discourage us, nor success beguile our hearts as you send us to proclaim the gospel. We make our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And as you do what you do, whether it's praying or sending positive energy or any of those kinds of things, this week, please hold Bishop Jeffrey Montoya in your prayers. Jeffrey was involved in a car accident last weekend that I didn't find out about until after we did the show. And had surgery to repair a broken right forearm 2 days ago, and is home recovering now. He's a little loopy from the drugs at intervals, but, you know, there has to be some benefit from having surgery. Chris? Anyway. You've got three readings this morning. I was only going to do two. But then I decided otherwise, and I will endeavor to explain that to you. Let me find a marker here somewhere. A piece of, babe, you know, my desk is so pristine that I often... Anybody who knows me now is rolling on the floor. But my desk is so pristine that I often have difficulty finding a stray piece of paper on it to use as a temporary bookmark. All right, so we're going to begin with Amos. Andy not being with us this morning. Amos chapter 7, beginning at verse 7 through 15. And if you need help finding Amos, if you get to the middle of your Old Testament, you'll find Psalms there. And then eventually you come to Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. And after them, you'll come to some folks called the Minor Prophets. And Amos is is about the fourth minor prophet, depending on how you place Daniel. I place Daniel as apocalyptic, but third or fourth minor prophet. So kind of toward the back of your Old Testament, immediately before Amos, you will find Joel, which is a rather small book. Before Joel, you will find Hosea. If you're finding folks like Zechariah or Haggai, Micah, you've gone too far. We'll give you a second to get there. Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 15. A reading from the book of Amos.
this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? A plumb line, I said. As an aside, Amos was no dummy. And continuing now. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the middle of my people Israel. I will never again forgive them. The shrines of Isaac will be made desolate, and the holy places of Israel will be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, reported to Israel's King Jeroboam, Amos has plotted against you within the house of Israel. The land isn't able to cope with everything he is saying. Amos had said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will be forced out of its land. Amaziah said to Amos, You who see things, go, run away to the land of Judah. Eat your bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's holy place and his royal house. Amos answered Amaziah, I am not a prophet, nor am I a prophet's son, but I am a shepherd and a trimmer of sycamore trees. But the Lord took me from shepherding the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Here ends the reading. Amos is one of the social justice prophets, and spoke at that time, in that critical juncture in Israel's history, in the 6th century BCE, when the exiles were occurring. And the Israelite people were trying to deal with this need to adjust their understanding of their place and their relationship to God, and the fact that they believed God would protect them and rescue them no matter what stupid stuff they did. And that's, you know, really an interesting way to look at that and to say that, because there's still that attitude that bangs around today. It doesn't the question really become, after all, if I'm going to do stupid stuff, is it reasonable for me to think that there's an interventionist God who's going to cover up for my stupid stuff? If in international affairs, as Israel did at this point in time, I'm going to enter into foolish agreements or not follow through on my agreements in international affairs, is it reasonable to expect that the reason God exists is to bail my sorry self out of my own stupidity? For my part, I really don't think so. I think that asking really for somebody or some being to justify our inappropriate behavior, our failure to learn, and we know that's not appropriate from our experience raising children. If, after all, you've raised children, you know that if you never allow them to bear the consequences of their bad choices, they're never going to stop making bad choices. So if you're 45 years old now, living in your parents' basement, have never really lived out of the house, you have only had jobs that get you by. Maybe you work at McDonald's or the local record store, and not because you're an aspiring musician or actor. It's just, you know, that's enough for you. And your lazy self lays around, leeching off your parents, not because they need you there, and not because you've been temporarily set back by hard economic times and are looking toward the day when you can get out, but just because, you know, this works for you. The odds are, your parents have done for you exactly what the people of Israel hoped that God would do for them, and the truth is, God doesn't work that way. And so the Spirit moved within Amos to stand up and turn around to his people and say, you know, God doesn't work the way you're assuming God's going to work. You can't keep screwing up in international affairs, ticking off stronger nations, and expect you're going to be rescued. If God worked that way, God would be reinforcing your inappropriate and juvenile behavior. And just as your parents shouldn't do it, seems to me neither should God. Our next reading is from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. To find Ephesians, you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then you get to Ephesians. If you see any other names in the New Testament, you've gone too far. And we'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And aside, one of the nice things about doing this while you look for the passage, one of the nice things about doing this on the podcast side is that we don't have to watch that 30-minute clock quite as closely, which for me is a little bit less of a challenge, but at the same time being a fair amount of relief that I can just do my thing. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Let me shine my light on this a little better here. Sing me a song. All right. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be his adopted children through Jesus Christ because of his love. This was according to his good will and plan, and to honor his glorious grace that he has given to us freely through the Son whom he loves. We have been ransomed through his Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on his overflowing grace, which he poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed his hidden design to us, which is according to his good will and the plan that he intended to accomplish through his Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God who accomplishes everything according to his design. We were called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. Here ends the reading. It's kind of a hot mess, isn't it? You know, Paul was the master of the run-on sentence. And it can make it difficult, as I so frequently demonstrate, really, to read him aloud smoothly. He's just a pain in the ass. No doubt because his letters were dictated. And so I've always had this mental image of a guy a lot like the comedian Richard Lewis, pacing back and forth, wringing his hands. And Paul's poor scribe, trying to keep up with him, trying to turn his verbal onslaught into sentences, particularly in a language that didn't have periods, or exclamation points, or any other punctuation. So it can be messy. And then we're translated. And, you know. So what is all this saying? Well, there's some stuff in there that smacks of atonement theology, I confess. I, of course, don't think you have to see it that way. But what I'd really like to talk about in this passage is this statement. Now, let me find it here. Here we go. Well, now let's find it. Here we go. This is what God planned. This is verse 10. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. Now, there have been a couple different ways to look at this. One of them, as history has evolved, seems to me to make less and less sense, and that was that we would convert the whole world to Christianity, and that that would be how all things would be brought together in Christ. The problem is, when Paul talks about the heavens, he's obviously talking about more than human beings, and all things, not all people, also transcends human beings. So, first and foremost, logically, this can't be about converting everybody to Christianity. Secondly, we've tried to convert the whole world to Christianity. Many people are still trying to convert the whole world to Christianity, and guess what? It hasn't worked. The odds of it ever working are slim to non-existent. And so then we have to step back when we find this. You know, we can take that fundamentalist approach and that literalist approach and keep insisting that it has to be true the way we decided it was true a long time ago, not because God is unchanging and infallible, but because really our egos want to substantiate that we are unchanging and infallible and always right. And of course that, if we're at all honest, is a dubious thing to try and proclaim. So what if it's instead about bringing all things together under Christ by the people who are followers of the Christ, reaching out and finding a way to bridge our differences, not force them to be like us, but instead follow the authentic teachings of Christ and love our neighbor? And everybody is our neighbor. What if about for Christians or for followers of Jesus, or I should say and for followers of Jesus, the whole point of bringing things together under Christ is that we are the agents for peace and reconciliation in the world, and it has absolutely nothing to do with one's religious or spiritual affiliation, if any. Because the ecology does not have a religious or spiritual affiliation, and it simply can't be about that. As much as we would like to make it about triumphalist rhetoric and imperialist nonsense, that just isn't what it says. And we continue to insist that it does say that, in fact, to our own detriment. There is a huge difference between making peace and conquering, no matter what George W. Bush might have wanted to tell us. You cannot bring someone freedom and liberation by jamming it down their throat, sorry to tell you. Our gospel today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, second book in the New Testament. And we're going to do Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. Hopefully you're there. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Herod the king heard about these things because the name of Jesus had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and this is why miraculous powers are at work through him, meaning Jesus. Others were saying he is Elijah. Still others were saying he is a prophet like one of the ancient prophets. But when Herod heard these rumors, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised to life. He said this because Herod himself had arranged to have John arrested and put in prison because of Herodias, the wife of Herod's brother Philip. Herod had married her, but John told Herod, it's against the law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias had it in for John. She wanted to kill him, but she couldn't. This was because Herod respected John. He regarded him as a righteous and holy person, so he protected him. John's words greatly confused Herod, yet he enjoyed listening to him. Finally, the time was right. It was on one of Herod's birthdays, when he had prepared a feast for his high-ranking officials and military officers in Galilee's leading residence. Herod's daughter, Herodias, came in and danced, thrilling Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the young woman, "Ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. Then he swore to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give to you, even as much as half of my kingdom." She left the banquet hall and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" "John the Baptist's head," Herodias replied. Hurrying back to the table, she made her request, "I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a plate right this minute." Although the king was upset because of his solemn pledge and his guests, he didn't want to refuse her, so he ordered a guard to bring John's head. The guard went to prison, cut off John's head, brought his head on a plate and gave it to the young woman, and she gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came and took his dead body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Seems kind of an odd story to be saying praise to you, Lord Christ, about, but all right. And it's a story that's fairly familiar and has been recounted in different biblical movies with more or less realism and grizzle attached. What does it mean? Well, to a certain extent, it certainly means that if you rock the company boat or the status quo, you run the risk of losing your head over it, literally, as well as metaphorically. It means that prophets who always preach against the status quo, if you find somebody claiming to be a prophet affirming the status quo, they're full of crap. That's why all of these preachers that cozy up to politicians are no prophet at all. Because you cannot suck at the teat of the president or any other politician or elected official and be a prophet, because once you start feeding off the teat, you're not in a position to speak the truth to power. Power now owns you. And so, John the Baptist came to that end that so many prophets, including Jesus, have come to. It's dangerous business. But I think that authentic prophets also understand that that's part of the gig. That the call to function and serve as a prophet is not a call necessarily to longevity. Even in our contemporary culture, there will always be those powers that be who are much more interested in not rocking the boat than they are in speaking the truth. And again, as so many have found out, in the spiritual, religious, and political arenas, and crossing those boundaries to occupy several of them, there's somebody out there is going to shoot you. Now, Herod didn't have guns, but he had sharp swords. But let's look for a minute at that first bit. That first paragraph, 14 through 16. Herod the king heard about these things. These things were the healings that Jesus was accomplishing, by the way. Because the name of Jesus had become well known, some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and this is why miraculous powers are at work through him. Others were saying he is Elijah. Still others, he is a prophet like one of the ancient prophets. Herod believed that Jesus was John, raised from the dead. And when we, for those of us who find in Christianity evidence for a belief in reincarnation, this is one of the places. Elijah was said to be the one who would return before the Messiah came. So Elijah was expected to return. Now, the only way you can return is to be reincarnated, unless they have you holding in a green room somewhere. Herod believed that John had been reincarnated. These were not thoughts of resurrection as we understand them, because the Jewish understanding of resurrection was that it would come at the end times. Not next Tuesday, unless next Tuesday was the end times. So if somebody was walking around today and you believed that he had somebody come back to life, you were believing in reincarnation. And as far as Elijah, it was something not unlike Bodhisattva vow, if you understand that Buddhist concept. We don't like to look at that, of course. We like to push that part. Oh, we'll just push that inconvenient part of the scripture to the side. But it's there, and it's worth considering. When you look at notions like the Orthodox concept of the deification of humankind, that we go through this process of drawing closer and closer to God, we all know people, chiefly the person we see in the mirror every morning, who probably isn't ready to make the trip. And I can't rule out, of course nobody knows what really happens, nobody's come back to tell us, but I can't rule out the possibility that we become reincarnate. That if we don't achieve unification with God, unification with the divine, unification with all that is, gosh, doesn't that sound like enlightenment and nirvana? Then we will come back, as it says in one of Peter's letters, to be purified as if by fire by doing this over again. Now, of course, you don't have to agree with me on that. You can take any viewpoint you want. I'm not going to be upset. But you need to know that not just in this passage, but throughout the scriptures, there is evidence of a Jewish and Christian belief in reincarnation. And that's important because Christianity was, for the first 300 years, a much broader place than it is today and than it has been since Augustine got a hold of it and started narrowing that window. Free yourself to consider the possibilities of this great spiritual adventure we're on. Until next time. God willing, on the Blog Talk Radio side, I'm Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste. We thank you for joining us for this Christ and Light program. We're glad you decided to join us. Christ and Light offers a variety of programming and teachings available throughout the week. Christ and Light podcast uploads weekly, usually on Monday mornings, and discusses a contemporary spiritual issue or teaching from a Christ and Light perspective. Christ and Light has a program on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday mornings and Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. On Wednesdays, our program looks at spiritual issues with a sense of humor, even when those issues are extremely serious. On Sunday mornings, we offer a weekly Sunday morning message based on a Christ and Light interpretation of the Revised Common Lectionary Scripture readings for that day. All of our internet programming is available at no cost to you. To learn more, visit our ChristandLight.org website or access the podcast and the Blog Talk Radio program at no charge to you on iTunes. We also write an engaged spirituality blog, which is available on the ChristandLight.org website. We blog Monday through Friday, and also on each morning, we upload a spiritual teaching for the day 7 days a week. There is a Christ and Light gathering in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To learn more about that gathering, visit the Christ and Light website. This program is copyright 2011 and 2012 by the Ecumenical Franciscans of the Renewal. All rights are reserved. For permission to reprint or use audio from this program, please write christandlight@gmail.com. We thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Bishop Craig Berglund, I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste.